Off the Ball, GAA.
So you've got Garrod O'Connor, you've got O'Mara, you've got really good players coming in, right? I mean, really good players, not just okay players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yes!
Michael Clerkin's piece today. GAA President's intervention on Naas hiring Gallagher is an unprecedented overreach. I don't actually agree with that. I actually think that if you're going to be the leader of an organisation that has been crying out for leadership and you show leadership on an issue as important as domestic abuse and domestic violence, then I think he that you've got to be consistent. And I would say, in fairness to Jarlath Burns, he's being consistent.
Do you know an interesting thing, though? And he does make the point, like, that the GAA haven't offered any... The GAA haven't presented any case where Rory Gallagher can't work, and Rory Gallagher is working. So it's a strange thing for the president of said association to then get involved in some capacity or other to query why he would be brought in a club job. Why is... You know what I mean?
You're getting into the weeds of the DRA stuff there, and actually... The DRA case is really interesting, and I'm fairly sure they published it, but maybe we'll get somebody in to explain the nuances of it, because as far as I know, the case that the lawyers on behalf of Gallagher made went much further than what the DRA ultimately said. They wanted you can never have any... I'm going to misquote this, so I actually want to kind of maybe stop.
Yeah.
But if you go and read it, you'll see that what they wanted was something much stronger than what the DRA ultimately adjudicated on. And what the DRA ultimately is saying is, like, that rule that you guys used was not the right rule. And I think that that's all, as he used the phrase, Malachy, today, quasi-legal, right? The reality is, does the organisation take the issue of domestic violence seriously? And Jarlath Burns has come together with the LGFA and the Camogie Association, and they've launched an initiative. And so he is driving that and reminding everybody that this is incredibly important. And I think when an issue like this crops up where there's conversations happening about it, if you stay silent, then ultimately you're seen to be agreeing with something that happens. But if you stand up and you say, this is my view, he didn't tell them not to do it, right? He didn't say, you can't do this. That's the bit where it's like, in his strong opinion, you shouldn't be doing this. That's what leadership is, I think. And it's a soft power. So I would disagree with
what's
Malachy.
The other headline under that?
Chronic shortage of referees leaves Dublin GAA stretched to the limit. Gordon Manning has a piece. 154 active referees at adult men's level, and there's 136 games every weekend. So,
yeah. You
know, if 10% of them are on holidays or sick, and then there's no games.
You'll have a real challenge recruiting a new bunch with the rules.
The new rules, yeah. Delighted to welcome back to the programme Niall Morgan to give us a sense now of a couple of months on how the games are going from his perspective. Niall, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, I'm good.
It was just interesting listening to Tony McEntee as a manager who's kind of grappling with it. One of the things that he talked about was the sense of uncertainty at training at the moment and how that's making everybody feel a little bit alive because you're not just coming back and doing the same routine training that you would have been. Is that something that you're sharing at the moment as well?
Yeah, absolutely. For somebody like me coming back 13th season, it's refreshing to not be going back and, I suppose, just doing the normal running blocks, because everybody's trying to get as much football played and trying to get as much of a go at the new rules as possible. So it's great. And even for the younger lads coming in there, because we're doing something different, our moods have lifted and it's having a positive effect on them then too.
I presume that's the case everywhere around the country. Like, I don't know, I was very interested in the fact that Paul Conroy came off the bench and kicked 8 points from 4 shots, having not played any football, training away himself, obviously. But first night back against Kildare, kicks 8 points from 4 shots in 20 minutes. You're like, this is going to be very interesting for a bunch of players who are just thinking, will I come back or not? And you see that and you're like, I'm coming back. I'm going to give this a go.
Oh, absolutely. Especially sort of the men that have been used to sort of playing like in a forward role that have been tracking a cornerback into their own fullback lane for the last 4, 5, 6 years, they're definitely going to be thinking maybe there's a couple of years left in me if I can just sort of negotiate myself to be one of them three men that stays up the pitch all the time.
From your perspective as a goalkeeper, now that you've started to play challenge matches, what's the difference between, say, how you're feeling about it now versus what you were thinking in the aftermath of the exhibition games?
I think I had sort of said that the exhibition games were very much exhibition, and there wasn't really like any, I suppose, jeopardy in terms of if you conceded a goal or whatever, it didn't really make that much of a difference. And I'd say that it was sort of pushing it to the limits as far as it could. And friendly games, I suppose, they're still only challenges, so you're still sort of testing the water to a certain extent to see what you can get away with. But like I have found personally, the only time I really get to go forward is whenever a team sits back and puts their 11 men plus their keeper, so 12 inside the arc. And you know, you're trying to create that numerical advantage, the same as what you would have done last year. Like whenever teams pressed up, whenever it was 15v15, you didn't really have the chance to go forward if they were pressing me. So it's only whenever teams really sit back and you're saying, well, you know, there's no point in us playing into their hands. They're trying to make themselves as compact as possible. We need to do something. And that's really the only time the game slows down. I sort of looked, I reckon maybe 6 times a half you were getting forward, which wasn't loads, but you were trying to make sure that those 6 times that the team were getting a shot. And there's times I've went forward and haven't even touched the ball. So it's not a case of, I think some people are trying to sort of put it forward that this is going to be 12v11 absolutely every time a team gets the ball, or every time Tyrone gets the ball, Niall Morgan's going to come forward and it's going to be 12v11. It hasn't worked like that at all. But if a team's going to drop back inside the arc, of course, we're going to try to exploit that and try to get extra bodies forward and into certain positions and try to get a free shot from somewhere.
And that's the benefit of the 2 point. There's loads in that. So that's the benefit of the 2 point line, really, is that if a team does decide to defend just there, then you're actually inviting the opposition on. And so this whole point about, oh, they'll keep possession or piggy in the middle, well, that's on the defending team in many respects. If they don't show the initiative to try and attack, and they're going to be super defensive, well, then they're going to get picked off with 2 pointers.
Exactly. And I suppose that's why I was glad the 2 point arc's dead, because otherwise the biggest advantage would be to keep as many bodies as close to goal as possible. And what I've actually found in the games is the teams that really press up and press hard, even in the full back line, that's where they're getting the turnovers, because there isn't that release valve above the goalkeeper as there usually was. I think the teams that the team that comes to mind now is Mayo, who are really, really good. You know, their forwards are brilliant at tackling, and I think they're going to really get an advantage out of, you know, pressing high up the pitch and trying to get turnovers sort of in a scoreable position for them.
Morning, Niall. Do you think that the 4 points needed to be maintained for the goal in order for the 2 points to be most effective? I.e., do you actually anticipate facing less shots on goal now with the 3-2-1 system?
No, teams are still trying to work goal chances, because ultimately what's happening is if you think a team's got a 2 point shooter, you're stepping that wee bit further out. So you're effectively defending outside the arc rather than inside, and it's creating the opportunities inside. And, you know, forwards are still looking goals, like, because at the end of the day, that's what gets the most noticed. So there are still shots being taken. That just, the weather, I suppose, at the minute, sort of still playing havoc on it. But I think the four point goal, look, I was probably slightly in support of it, but it was a very heavy weight on it, in particular whenever you see the sort of the bigger teams coming up against the smaller teams. You know, 2-3 goals is going to finish the game off in the first 10 minutes, which doesn't add to the spectacle, which is what this is, I suppose, the new rules are meant to be all about.
I remember asking you around that weekend, do you anticipate training sessions changing? And you gave me a definitive and passionate yes, definitely. And has that already manifested itself this year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, well, for a start, I know I had said this before about the numbers at our training can be low at times. Realistically, you only need 24 men to train now for a start, because you only need to train 12v12 inside one half. Yeah. One of you have 5 or 6 Argyll Kieran players still in an All-Ireland series. It's a massive help, because the numbers have been low. But like, in terms of, like, there's a lot of high-speed work now. Everything has to be... You're punished. If you give away the ball, you're punished even more now, because the other team has got the 3 men up. So like, the skill levels went high. I'm sort of somebody that tries to push standards sometimes to my detriment, where I have to bite my tongue. But it's, the skill level has had to be really high, and it's added that excitement, the unknown, the the way that players are having to reinvent themselves. It's no longer just a running game as such, where, right, we've got the ball, let's all run as far up the pitch as we can, as quickly as we can, because, as I said earlier on, like last year, whenever you won the ball, it was about trying to get your full back line into their full back line as quickly as possible to create space. If you run away now and the other team press, which they are doing, there is no release valve. So if you lose the ball, you're nearly outnumbered straight away because your team's trying to get ahead of it. So it's all changing, and it is a very, very different game to be part of.